Welcome to today's special edition episode of AUSA's Army Matters podcast, focusing on the Army Materiel Command's perspective on persistent modernization, which is the theme of our virtual Global Force Next Symposium going on 16 to 18 March 2021. Any questions, go ahead and visit AUSA.org and you'll see more information on all the current activities. This is General Retired Bob Brown, AUSA's Executive Vice President, and I'll be serving as your host. To address this subject today, we're very fortunate to be joined by an exceptionally qualified guest, General Edward Daly, Commanding General of the Army Materiel Command, which develops and delivers material readiness solutions to ensure globally dominant land force capabilities. General Ed Daly assumed duties of the 20th Commanding General of the U.S. Army Materiel Command on July 2, 2020. And General Daly served 3 years as a Deputy Commanding General of AMC in his previous assignment. He managed the day-to-day operations of the Army's logistics enterprise and also served as a senior commander of Redstone Arsenal, Alabama. He served as the Commanding General of Army Sustainment Command of Rock Island Arsenal in Illinois and as AMC's Deputy Chief of Staff, overseeing the roles and functions of the headquarters staff. General Daly, welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast.
Hey, sir, thanks for the opportunity to spend time with you today. And I would be remiss if I didn't start by thanking AUSA for not only what you've done, but what you continue to do for our Army. And I'm really looking forward to AUSA next week. I know we've got a great plan for the 16th to the 18th. And so I'm really excited about it. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk a little bit about what's within that schedule for those 3 days.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it. And thanks for your tremendous teamwork and all you're doing at AMC, such a critical role for our Army and our nation. So let's start right off with the theme for Global Force Next is protecting tomorrow through persistent modernization. And how do you describe persistent modernization, why it is important to the U.S. Army?
Well, the Chief has spoken about this several times, and as you know, for the past 100 years, we've really undergone modernization efforts for our Army about once every 4 decades. We did it around World War I in a war period, World War II, the 1980s with air land battle, the Big Five, and now we're in the 2020 timeline where we're modernizing the Army again. And as you know, the way the Chief has described it is, it's been discrete for the last 100 years, but going forward, really based on innovation and pace of technological changes, and really based on the operating environment and the changing threats, we don't have the opportunity to really be discrete any longer. We have to be more persistent in our modernization efforts. And I know Mike Murray probably talked about this as well. I know he probably talked about some things in terms of mindset and how we upgrade the speed of acquisition and how we modernize, continue to in-stride, modernize equipment. So I think that's important going forward. When I look at it from the sustainment warfighting function perspective, I think it's much of the same. And I really look at it through two lenses. One is through the Army Materiel Command lens, and there are certain roles and responsibilities that Army Materiel Command has. And then my role is one of the senior Army sustainers to ensure that, again, from a sustainment perspective, that we're looking out to 2035 and beyond, but looking at how we're not discrete and deliberate, we're more agile and persistent in how we approach our sustainment capabilities. And so when you look at from an Army Materiel Command perspective, the Army has said that AMC is responsible for sustainment with regard to modernization and the enterprise in terms of strategic divestiture, we're the lead. But then we also have a huge supporting role with ForceCom in terms of force employment, and then with Army Futures Command and TRADOC from a standpoint of development and design. And so as we look forward, we've got to juxtapose both of those so that, one, we're looking across the battle space. And when I say across the battle space, what we really mean is persistent modernization from the strategic support area, installations, post camps and stations, and depots, arsenals, and ammunition plants, all the way to the tactical battle space. And as we look at that, I think it's really, really important to stay focused on what we can do to enable the capabilities of the future battlefield. We can't be enamored with sustainment responsibilities, functions, and capabilities as it stands today. We've got to be looking to the future. Really, from a sustainment warfighting function perspective in the tactical battle space, how do we improve our ability to support and enable operations? And really, what we're talking about there is, as you know, extending operational reach in a tactical battle space and ensuring freedom of action and prolonging endurance, not just for the Army, but for the joint force and partners. And so that's kind of where we're focused. And that's how we, in context, look at persistent modernization with the lens, from my perspective, on sustainment.
Great points there, Ed. And as you were describing that so well, I just kept thinking, boy, if you don't have agile sustainment, you're certainly not going to have agile combat operations. You know, the sustainment is absolutely the key part. Really appreciate the thoughts there. How, as you look, you know, with Global Force Next, what are the objectives you have for it and what constitutes a successful outcome for America's Army and those who support it?
Well, first is, you know, I think there's some lessons learned even to this point. And the great thing is that the chief and the secretary have a great vision. And so the lessons learned so far is the importance and value of Army Futures Command. I would say that's the first and foremost. And embedded in that is Army Materiel Command and the sustainment community's continued integration with what Mike Murray and his team are doing at Echelon. And so that really ranges, in my mind, from the lifecycle management commands, that's Tank Automotive Command, Communication Electronics Command, Aviation Missile Command, making sure that their efforts from a standpoint of sustainment are integrated with not only the cross-functional teams and the modernization efforts and what the CFT is spearheading in terms of the 31 plus 4, but also the program executive offices, right, the PEOs. And so I think a good example of that is with Future Vertical Lift, where AMCOM is working directly with CFT Future Vertical Lift and PEO Aviation to get ahead of the sustainment reliability pieces in terms of reducing sustainment costs, in terms of increasing quality, going after the right tech data packages as we figure out the way ahead, improving capabilities, looking at long-term lifecycle sustainment planning. All that is absolutely critical, all the way up to the collaboration from a standpoint of the sustainment warfighting function that I think is important. And that really leads me to my next point, and that is that, you know, many have asked me and said, hey, why don't we have a sustainment cross-functional team? And the answer is we don't need one. We're getting the right effects collaborating with Army Futures Command and TRADOC right now. And I feel very, very comfortable that from a sustainment warfighting function, not only we embedded with 31 plus 4, the six modernization priorities, but really also we're looking at sustainment, how it should look in 2035 based on what the battle space looks like and the capabilities that we need. And so I would just tell you that from a sustainment perspective, I feel very, very comfortable with the S&T funding stream that we have. I feel very, very comfortable with the RDT&E funding stream, with the procurement commitment. And then, as you know, it's really not just materiel, but it's also looking across DOTLM PF in terms of organizational design and really doctrine, et cetera. So those are a couple of lessons learned. I think the other key piece is that we have to keep our eye on 2035. The chief has been very, very clear about aim point 2035 and really using waypoints to assess trajectory and whether or not we're continuing to stay on glide path to get to the force design that we're trying to achieve in 2035 and beyond. I think those are some of the key lessons learned. And so when you ask the question, sir, as to what are the things that I would see successful objectives in terms of Global Force Next, it's making sure that sustainment does not lag behind the modernization effort between now and 2035. So that's the first thing I think that's critical. The second piece is that we're looking beyond the tactical battle space. In today's environment and based on speed and range and vision of the 31 plus 4 and the modernization priorities, we have to look at sustainment differently not just in the tactical battle space, but through the strategic support area, the depth and breadth of the battle space, so that we can be an enabler from a sustainment warfighting function perspective, not, in my mind, be a potential limiting factor that would cause us to culminate, whether it was in competition, crisis, or conflict, large-scale combat operations.
Thanks, Ed. Very well put. I appreciate in particular, I've heard that before too, folks. Why isn't there a sustainment cross-functional team? It's because you're in every cross-functional team. And as you described, that's so key to stay ahead as we move towards 2035. And I want to dig into a little bit more. You just mentioned large-scale combat operations. And when you look at the magnitude of a potential conflict in large-scale combat operations, it really dwarfs anything the Army has experienced in decades. And so as you're looking at those sustainment implications, you touched on quite a few of them, but I want to dig a little more into what are the challenges for the Army, particularly in the combined and joint fight in setting a theater?
That's a great question, and I appreciate you asking it. So we all know, and you know this from your days in the Pacific even, sir, and that is that not just in conflict, large-scale combat operations, but also in competition and crisis, it's a joint multinational effort. And we have to look at everything we're doing from a sustainment perspective through that lens. So that's the first thing. I think what's really synchronizing what we're trying to do is the fact that within the joint warfighting concept, the Army is the lead, as you know well, for the joint concept for contested logistics. And I think this is really the nexus of what we're trying to get at here, right? And I will tell you that the chief has his direct fingerprints on the JCCL because it is so important, because it addresses the joint responsibilities that we have from a Title 10 perspective and an Army support to other services. And it also addresses our commitment to partners and allies, no matter what we're doing, whether it's competition all the way to conflict. And so I feel very, very comfortable that we talk about the JCCL, that it's nested and it's being looked at not only from an Army perspective through the joint lens, but it's enabling, I think, multi-domain operations. And so that's why I think us having the lead is really an enabling opportunity for us. And when you look at the JCCL, it's very, very critical to a couple of things. One, in terms of assured power projection, and two, sustainment across the battle space in distributed, really, environment. And so when you look at it, we get at forward presence, we get at agile basing, we get at the importance of the industrial base, not just the organic industrial base. We get at setting the theater. We look at acquisition cross-service agreements, the integration and synchronization efforts. It's really a comprehensive look that looks at everything through that joint multinational lens. And so I'm really looking at it from a standpoint of how do I help the chief as one of the senior Army logisticians, work this effort into the modernization strategy and really make it a cornerstone and foundation of MDO going forward.
Those are great points. You know, as you were discussing that, I just kept thinking, you know, how has the development of the Army Futures Command, and as you were mentioning earlier, the close coordination between the two, how has that helped you in that effort with the joint concept for contested logistics?
That's a great question, too. I would just tell you, Mike Murray and I and our teams are 100% synced. You know, I like to say zero mills in terms of our approach. My job is to support his modernization efforts. And the great thing is that he offers some great opportunity for us with his software factory, with his Army Analytics Lab, for us to get at how do we better work the sustainment capabilities we need for the future. The other key thing that I think is absolutely essential and foundational to our approach to 2035 is Project Convergence, not just Project Convergence 21, but 22 and 23, because it addresses the joint multinational piece that you and I just mentioned here. But PC 21, 22, and 23, I think are going to be absolutely critical to the sustainment community. And Mike has been great about working in joint mission threads that are specific to sustainment so we can really develop the needed capabilities for the future. So you look at logistics reporting and you look at because of increased rates of fire, as an example, how do we get at this enabling of, from a sustainment perspective, to support and optimize the new weapon systems and meet the demands of ammunition and fuel, et cetera. And so making sure that these joint efforts, mission threads are woven into PC 21, 22, and 23, I think will help us get a better look at what sustainment looks like in 2035 and beyond. And so I think that's absolutely critical. And those are just a couple of examples about how AMC and Army Futures Command are working together. In fact, I just spent time down at Mike's headquarters last week, and we talked through a lot of this. And I would also tell you that I mentioned science and technology, S&T dollars and RDT&E. And Mike really dual hatted both as the Army Futures Command commanding general, but also in his role as a co-chair for the EEPEG, I think really helps us because he understands the importance of logistics and sustainment, and therefore has been really, really supportive of our requirements in terms of S&T, RDT, and OPA for the next 10 or 15 years to make sure that sustainment continues to be that enabling factor that we talked about.
You know, it sounds like this reorganization was really a tremendous move that it could prevent. You know, in the past, we've seen sometimes sustainment has lagged behind, never, I don't think, intentionally, but, you know, weapons systems challenges. And I guess, you know, it sounds like you all working this and collaborating so closely can get ahead of that. But I would just ask, what keeps you up at night, you know, when you try in your efforts to try to ensure sustainment is not the Achilles heel of the joint warfighting concept or multi-domain operations? What keeps you up at night as you're working this?
It's not that it keeps me up at night, but things that I don't want to lose sight of is the criticality of making sure that sustainment stays pace with the other modernization efforts. And we talked a little bit about that. The second piece is that I have to make sure that I don't myopically look at the tactical battle space and divorce myself from the conversation about the organic industrial-based modernization effort, which I think is critical. And how do we quickly project power worldwide using our Army power projection platforms and mobilization force generation installations, right, our MFGIs and our AP3s? Because we could do everything we need in terms of the battle space, in terms of capabilities, materiel, organizational design, et cetera. But if the organic industrial base and our installation support lags behind, then we potentially, because of the agility of the battle space, the speed of the battle space from fort and factory to foxhole, that distribution effort, that supply chain has to be faster than ever. And so I want to make sure that we stay focused on organic industrial base modernization and our power projection platforms upgrades. And this has been a specified task from the chief. General McConville has been very, very specific in his guidance to me in telling me, don't forget about the organic industrial base. Don't forget about CONUS power projection in this process. And so our investment strategies are laid in very, very well. And now we just got to make sure that we just don't incrementally upgrade our organic industrial base. It has to be almost revolutionary in a way, because as you know, most of our organic industrial base facilities were built in the 1940s. And they weren't built to last 80, 90 years. They were built only for about 10, 15 years to get us through the Second World War. And now, as we look back, we have, in some cases, a 20th century organic industrial base that truly has to be modernized. And so we have to bring to bear the technologies that Army Futures Command is using in the battle space. We have to bring those technologies into the organic industrial base. As an example, changing designs and layouts of our facilities to be more effective and efficient, computer program logic, robotics, and all the other technological edges. So we truly have 21st century depots, arsenals, and ammunition plants that are producing at scale exponentially faster than in the past. And so those are just a couple of things, but it's all predicated on sustainable, predictable funding that we can execute this modernization effort that the Army senior leaders are so serious about. And it's a delicate balance between readiness and modernization. And so what I have to do also is not become myopic looking at modernization and make sure that I understand that we still have a task within Army Materiel Command and from a sustainment perspective to support current readiness around the world. And that's absolutely critical. And we're doing that. I think, very, very well. But we can't lose sight of that, especially given the new ReArm construct, the regionally aligned readiness and modernization model. I think that's critical. ReArm and how we modernize the force, but how we train the force and how we deploy the force is going to be critical going forward. You know, it's the next generation of the SRM model that you and I remember. But this is going to be critical in terms of how we support current readiness juxtaposed with future modernization efforts. We can't look one or the other without balancing both, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. That's a tough balancing act. Well, you know, I'm just struck by you have a lot on your plate. When you look, what do you see as keeping America's Army moving forward? And I would also add, what can we do to help you in that effort?
I would just tell you, again, to end where I started, can't tell you how much we appreciate AUSA's support and what General Hamm does and serve not only your service, but what you continue to do in support of the Army. I mentioned predictable, consistent funding. I mean, obviously, that's critical. But the chief has been clear in terms of his priorities. And I think that is really our guide. People first, readiness and modernization. And we have to continue to be relentless about all three. And we're doing that each and every day. But those are the things that I think we have to continue to focus on, because I think one of our biggest fights is our fight for talent. Because what makes us the best Army in the world, as you know very, very well, having served for several decades and seeing it through the lens you see it now, is that it's our soldiers and their families. They're our most precious asset, and we got to fight to retain them. We got to fight to recruit them. We have to make sure they know how much we care about them. And so whether it's quality of life or putting the best material and equipment in their hands is absolutely essential to showing and demonstrating what our most precious asset means to us.
I'll tell you, thanks so much, Ed, for joining us. I think we could have dug into each one of these questions and spent another hour or two on them. It makes me really anticipating Global Force Next. We really look forward to continuing to hear your thoughts in such a critical area. Just a big thank you to General Ed Daly for being with us today and for sharing your insights and experiences on a subject so important to our national security. And we really look forward to following the Army Materiel Command's progress. And as I said, I know we're going to dig into this even more on Global Force Next, and it's just going to be great. It's such an important area. So, Ed, thanks for joining AUSA's Army Matters podcast, a special edition, taking a look at persistent modernization and focusing on Army Materiel Command. And we look forward to you joining us in Global Force Next. Thanks for your support.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.